Today's scripture is Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Luke 22, 42. Let me read it. Saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ and members of 10,000 branch churches around the world as well as in Korea, and those who are attending this service through satellites and internet and GCN TV viewers, it is the Friday all-night service of Passion Week. What did you do during this Passion Week? Did you think of the heart of God the Father, who gave His only Son as the propitiation to open a way of salvation of souls? For the last 33 years, you know, it was my first time to fast for this week. And I believe almost every one of you, you know, fasted, even for just one meal. Did you also think of the heart of the Lord, who understood such a heart of the Father and obeyed Him even until death? The suffering of the cross that Jesus received was unbearable for just any man. And so, in the night of the day before He took the cross, Jesus prayed to the Father God. As written in Luke 22:42, He said, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus knew that removing this cup was not the will of the Father. But then, why did He pray like this? Since Jesus came down to the earth in the flesh, He suffered just as we do. When He didn't sleep, He got tired. When He didn't eat, He got hungry. And when He was hit, He felt pain. Jesus knew sinners would be redeemed as He became the propitiation, and He was willing to do it. At the same time, however, He also knew how terrible He would suffer when He did it because He was in the flesh. That's why He prayed to God to remove this cup by any chance, if God the Father is willing. But soon He said, yet not my will, but yours be done. The Bible mentions it, right? So I follow it. And sometimes I, you know, repeat this prayer when I suffer a lot. Father God, please reduce my pain and forgive all those in the sinners in my church. Sometimes I pray, and then soon, but yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus eventually took all the sufferings of the cross. You cannot help but change if you feel such a heart of Jesus as this, and if you believe in the heart of the Father God, who loves sinners like us to the point of sacrificing Jesus. From the beginning, I believed in this. That's why, from the very beginning, I managed a good Christian life. Nobody forced me, but I prayed and fasted just as I was inspired by the Holy Spirit. I didn't do what Father God said, don't do it. Nobody forced me to do that. I didn't pray because, you know, people were watching me. But I went to church whenever I got time, and I fasted, you know, I prayed all night along with my wife. And nobody, you know, acknowledged me while I was doing it. And on Sundays, I attended morning service, and I got lunch, and I caught taxi and went to mountain, all my family, along with other members, and went to mountain and prayed, and then came back to church for evening service, which started at 7:30. I repeated that kind of, you know, life circle. Of course, after I became, you know, workers of the church, you know, I helped church ministry. But when I was not a worker, I always went to mountain and prayed. As I tell you about the heart of the Lord, I wish that such a beautiful heart as this can permeate your hearts, your brothers and sisters in Christ. The heart of the Lord is, first of all, love. The love of the Lord is in the different level from what people may think of. It is the love, okay? This kind of love, deep love, if you want to feel it, then you have to enter Holy Spirit. And even after entering Holy Spirit, you have to be educated to understand this deep level of love. By now, in the fifth level of faith, there are people who reach the 30 or 40 or 50 level of faith. And I believe they are now understanding such a heart of the Lord. Where is Mrs. Bonglin Lee? Right there. Thank you. At her level, she can now understand the love and love of Father God and of the Lord, along with other the people of Holy Spirit. So, such people do not make misunderstanding. Dear brothers and sisters, faith and trust, if you truly believe in Father God, since it is 100%, Father God loves me. And, when you listen to the revelation, God's revelation, Father God says, there is no need for word of trust between you and me. That's how I have managed my believing life. There is no doubt. I completely trusted Father God. I've never calculated the situation. I've never done that. Between you and me, there is nothing like that, said God. So nothing can interfere your ministry. So, if you truly know the love of the Lord, then you have to have this kind of trust relationship with Father God and with the Lord. And through refinements, many people have been under the refinement to become united with the shepherd as one. Even though the enemy, devil, and Satan is at work, you can stand on the rock, you can come into spirit, and you are on the refinement, even at this point, to come into Holy Spirit. The love of the Lord is in a different level from what people may think of. It is the love that has no strings attached and expects nothing in return. It is the love that searches deep into the heart of the Father and only obeys. So for the last 33 years, I have helped you a lot. If I have accumulated all those money that I spent to help you, I would think the amount would be enormous. So it's a great amount. And have I ever wanted anything in return? Have I ever, when I helped you? There was no strings attached until now. And I only did the good things for you to plant faith in you by all means and to lead you to New Jerusalem. That's what I think of all the time. I've never wanted anything in return. I help you right now like this, so you have to be faithful to me. I've never said that. It is a love that searches deep into the heart of the Father and only obeys. Jesus understood the heart of the Father who desires to save sinners. With no strings attached before the Father, He only obeyed and came down to the earth in the flesh. To become the propitiation for sinners, He took the horrible suffering of the cross. Jesus, of course, had no fleshly thought. If he did, he couldn't have taken the cross. Nowadays, I think I told you before, I usually watch news once a day or some historical documentary. And there were ads or commercial or advertisement about, you know, Jesus in a related movie, and I watched it. And wow, they described our Jesus as a leader of rebel against the government. And I was so sorry. It hurted my heart. And our Lord was speaking in harsh language. They described our Lord like that. Oh, please, please understand it correctly. If you had the chance to watch that kind of thing, our Lord never argued with anyone. He didn't even put out the smoldering wick. It is written in the Bible. But, you know, in the documentary, it described our Lord as a leader of a rebel. Since all the documentaries are wrong like this, you know, I am so afraid of, you know, my people to watch that kind of stuff. Jesus, of course, had no fleshly thought. If he had, he couldn't have taken the cross. He might have thought to himself, I am the Son of God, and I don't want to take this terrible cross. But Jesus didn't think like that at all. To be the way of salvation for sinners according to the will of the Father, he came down to the earth in the flesh of man. And he silently took the terrible suffering of the way of the cross. He did it because he loved the Father from the depths of his heart. And his heart was also filled with the love for the souls. He freed men from their slavery to sin and opened the way for them to become the true children of God. If you understand this love of the Lord in your heart, you can find the answer to the question concerning how you should live your life. If you have this love, you will find the way. It is also love that gives you the strength to walk the way. The title of the Easter cantata performance of second half of the service is Martyrdom. You will see what kind of life those who realized love of the Lord lived. Nobody forced them to do so, but they joyfully made themselves walk this way of life. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Those who possess great love for the Lord can do what the world cannot deal with. Mary Magdalene overcame all the fear with her love for the Lord. And the love of the apostles for the Lord didn't react at all toward intimidation, not even at the threat of taking their lives. In the name of the Lord, I urge you to profess that you can do anything the Lord wants as you become full of the love of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the heart of the Lord is, secondly, the heart of mercy. A dictionary defines mercy as helping people who are in a desperate situation. But spiritual mercy is not only that, but also treating one soul more precious than the whole world. It is the heart of taking pity on even evil people, betrayals, and sinners, and of forgiving, and of giving a chance of salvation to them by whatever means necessary. How great the heart of mercy that Jesus possesses. Matthew 12:20 says, a battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory. Jesus endured those whose hearts were stained by sin and those who had virtually no chance of salvation, like a battered reed or like a smoldering wick, till the end. By all means, he tried to save them. I myself, you know, there are many beautiful flowers in prayer place. And I put a very cheap, you know, a tree in that prayer place. And the prayer place is surrounded with trees and flowers. But in the room, there was a very cheap, you know, mini miniature tree. And it is very strong to survive. And after receiving my prayer, you know, it revived. And there was, I got a gift of this big in a tree. A senior deaconess Vin bought it for me, I guess. It was too big. And after a few months, and it died. And but I couldn't get rid of it, though. And since it was too big, it's a long time ago, okay? I think it happened in 1990s. Anyway, the tree was so big. I think I told you this story about. And then a year later, and I didn't water the tree. So it died. And I think to myself, I should get rid of it. I cannot put that big tree in my room. But then I was inspired. I got faith that, you know, when our Lord prayed, even the dead tree got revived, right? So what if I pray? Then it would revive. I got the kind of faith. So I prayed for that tree. And the tree, the next day, the tree got new leaf. I was so surprised. I think I experienced it when I started this church. So I was so pleased. And then I put a small tree, and then it grew up very quickly. And I brought it to church. So anyway, I had a kind of experience. So anyway, I kind of, you know, like the kind of tree, even though it's not expensive and good, but cheap, but, you know, I kind of like it. So through that experience, I came to have greater faith, and I was so pleased to confirm the Bible. And it was discarded, and it was, you know, garbage. But when I prayed, it came back to life. If you have this kind of faith, I will be so thankful. If you have that kind of faith, people of spirit, and those, you know, selected pastors, your faith should be like this. You have to work on it through many experiences. Then, if you get sick, it's nothing. Say you got sick, for instance, then it's nothing, right? Even a dead tree can be revived. Now, you can see, you know, if your lung become weak, then you can pray and make it healthy. If there was no blood circulation, you can pray so that it can circulate well. I have lived my life like that. So I hope our pastors possess this kind of faith. You can do it too. Then you can go out to the world and preach the gospel. So anyway, he didn't put out the smoldering wick. He approached those who were despised, such as tax collectors and prostitutes, and preached the gospel to them. But evil people criticized such a one as Jesus. Yet, Mark 2, verse 17 says, "And hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick.'" It's of course, right? "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." You know, healthy people do not need any physicians. "I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Lord want to call sinners and make them righteous. After they repent and healed, then they will become righteous people. You heard testimonies a lot. You know, they repented and they turned back, and after receiving prayer, they got healed. You know, all the Mommy magazine, you know, confirmed that. What Jesus said shows his heart considered one soul more precious than the whole world. Can you imagine how great a strength and hope his words became to such people as tax collectors and prostitutes? In Joseon Dynasty, in Korean history, the last emperor, King Gojong, the missionary came and doctors came to Korea from abroad. And can you imagine how hard their ministry was? They couldn't speak Korean. And then think of the doctors, they couldn't touch a female's hand. And right now, the daughter of the minister of defense Department of Defense, there was a doctor who was about to diagnose the daughter, but the daughter was dying because the doctor could not touch her. So anyway, the doctor went into the room and saved her by diagnosing her and then giving her proper treatment. But the daughter committed suicide. Why? Because a man touched her body. She thought she got ashamed. But that doctor was used to be a man who killed the cows, who were not treated as normal men. Well, that's what happened in the history of this country. So about 150 years ago, it was like that. The people didn't even talk to such low-level people. And she committed suicide after realizing that such a low man touched her. So, this man, even though he saved her, the minister of the defensement of the Department of Defense, sent men to kill him, kill the doctor. I mean, you can understand the situation, can you? You can't, huh? In the past, about 150 years ago, it was like that. A doctor should touch a lady to diagnose her, right? The doctor has to open her upper clothes if it's necessary, right? But back then, the son of the emperor had trouble with the anus, and then the doctor said he had to receive the surgery, but nobody could do it. The queen of the country, the mother of that prince, got angry. How to put a knife on this prince? So the prince died. So, who was the last queen? Queen Myeongseong? That's what happened. So you would become great strength and hope to such tax collectors and prostitutes. So if you don't understand it, you may misunderstand the situation, but once you know the truth, once you understand spiritual love and reach the fifth level of faith or fifth level of love, which will be covered in the upcoming conference, if your faith grows up, then you can realize it is true love from Father God's perspective. But from the fleshly perspective, it doesn't seem to be love. It is the love of Father God to lead people to New Jerusalem. But fleshly people cannot understand. That's why they criticize Father God. But to the eyes of Father God, it is the goodness, it is the work of love. So, all this kind of stuff. After you or faith grows up, you know, you will learn this stuff, you will understand this stuff. Then you will have strength to save many souls. Amen? Even though you cannot understand it right now, in the upcoming conference, I will deal with the deep level of love and goodness, then you can have a chance of understanding them. And you can understand better. Okay? Jesus took pity on even the likes of Judas Iscariot. Although Jesus knew that he would sell him out, he treated him with love till the end and gave him a chance to turn back. Even at the table of the Last Supper, as written in Matthew 26:24, he said, "The Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. You know, of course, you know, it was better for him not to be born, right? Even after hearing this, however, Judas Iscariot eventually sold out his master. Historically, there are many incidents which can give me insight and understanding. In Korean history, when the first Western doctor came to this country, it was the hospital called the Jejung Hospital. I believe the doctor's father was the minister of domestic affairs. And, you know, there was a doctor who used to be a cow, who used to kill in the cow to prepare in the beef. Anyway, since you know he got experience with how to use knife and stuff, you know, he was very good at the surgery. And then he diagnosed a man who couldn't survive without getting injury. I mean, without getting a surgery. And he was the head of the Department of Domestic Affairs, and so anyway, the foreign doctor was out. So the Korean doctor started in the surgery. But the minister died of too much bleeding. The son of the minister got surprised and said, "You killed my father." So he hated that doctor. But the foreign doctor said, "You know, he tried to save your father. Otherwise, I mean, he opened your father's in the belly, but, you know, he lost too much blood. That's why he died." Even though the foreign doctor explained, you know, the son of the minister couldn't believe it. So anyway, the doctor did only the goodness. But then he was misunderstood by many people. He was criticized by many people. He was beaten many times by many people. So when, you know, foreign and Western medical doctors came into this country, you know, they had to overcome all this and hardships. And now we have many, you know, the best surgeons of the world. They had to overcome such, you know, procedures. I mean, they had to overcome such times. So, the man only did the goodness. But most people misunderstood him, even the king. He was about to be beheaded, but the ambassador from Russia got in a cataract, I guess. And then ambassador of Japan was about to be, you know, wrongfully accused. Anyway, but that man, you know, had the surgery on the ambassador, and then the ambassadors could see. He was supposed to be blind, but after the surgery, he was able to see. Back then, the ambassador from Russia got so, had a great, strong impact on the Korean government. So the doctor saved him. So anyway, but the doctor was used to be a very low-level man, but anyway, he got the surgery and then he was able to see the ambassador. So ambassador was so pleased, and, the ambassador didn't care about, what he used to be, right? The doctor. So anyway, he was about to be beheaded, the doctor, but he was saved. And I watched that. Pastor Hijili, who receives God's revelation, and I believe, it will be interesting. The conference. There were people who were wrongly accused. But, like this doctor, who was to be beheaded, but he didn't care. He just wanted to save people. It was true love, right? Even though he knew that he would be wrongfully accused, he wanted to save just one soul. So he sacrificed himself. This is true love, isn't it? This is true goodness. Even when he was nailed in his both hands and both feet to the cross, he gave an intercessory prayer for them. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they did not know what they were doing." While he was dying on the cross to become the Savior, he truly felt sorrow for those souls who were used as evil instruments. Jesus wished that his intercessory prayer would pay for justice and that a chance of salvation would be given to them. This is the heart of the Lord. It is the heart to open the way of salvation by all means to the many people of an evil generation. The way of the cross was accomplished by this heart of the Lord. As I have done my ministry as a servant of God so far, I always thought how to save just one more soul and how to lead them to a better dwelling place in heaven. Since they were the souls who were bought by the price of the precious blood of the Lord, each and every single soul was precious to me. Most of you have believed in me and followed me well, but there were others who didn't do so. I planted faith in them, I helped them possess hope, and I gave them much love, but they betrayed me and left the church. But thankfully, it was like 1 out of 2,000 or 3,000. Just as our Lord said, 1 out of 12 betrayer came out. So you will have many servants, but you will have betrayers among your servants. When I look back, there was just 1 out of 1,000. So I am thankful. I am grateful. I planted faith in them, I helped them possess hope, and I gave them much love. But they betrayed me and left the church. Some of them were so evil that they judged me and slandered me as they pleased and interrupted the kingdom of God. Whenever I think of them, though, I still don't hate them or dislike them. Since I clearly know how their ends will be, I rather worry about their future and I feel pity for them. Although the Father gave me the power of blessings and curses, I don't want to use the power of curse against them. Yet still, they were mommy members. I know them, and I remember their names. I just feel pity for them. Senior Pastor, you were wrongfully accused. Why don't you sue them? There were people like that. However, if you call your bad name, and if I sue such people, would you be pleased with me? Would you? No? Of course not. How can I accomplish the Bible? The Lord said, if someone slaps you on your cheek, turn the other cheek also. But they slandered my ministry, and I sued them, and I hit back, and accused them. If I did that, how would you believe in me? You have to think about this. The anger in your heart. And you ask me, why the shepherd is bearing with them? Don't say that. Well, why don't you look at them with the eyes of love? If you have true love and goodness, then you will desperately want to save even such people, by all means, even though I am hit by them. You gotta have that kind of heart. If you are servants of God, you should. With that kind of love, you should do your ministry. Then you can enjoy revival. Someone accuses you wrongfully, and you hate them, you dislike them? No. You should be able to endure them, love them. You should become such pastors. Then such church will experience great revival. Workers in the church, they say this. I've witnessed there were so many evil people who tried to destroy you, but you've never changed your mind, your heart for them. You've never wanted them to leave this church. I've never seen you like that. You just wanted to save them. You just did goodness to them. You turned the other cheek also to them who hit you on your left cheek. That's why I am changed like this. I became a man of spirit. The people profess like this, quite many people, since they experienced it. Even though I was wrongfully accused, I wanted to save them. Now, pastors, you should become such pastor in brain churches. If you become like that, you cannot help but experience great revival. All pastors and missionaries, you should work like this. Then you can experience great revival. With the love of the Lord, with the goodness of the Lord, you should do your ministry. Then you will experience revival. About this heart of mine, God the Father said, you are truly gentle in your heart. That heart is foundation to save all peoples. Not long ago, however, the Father said, the punishment and retribution will be given to them according to their deeds at the time that the Father said. And he said, it is because they themselves denied the fact that they were mommy members and their time for repenting and turning back has almost run out. When I hear such words of God the Father, I am so greatly worried. That's why I gave intercessory prayer for them again in the first of special Daniel prayer meeting on the 15th of March. I should ask the Father so that they would repent and turn back and reach salvation. Brothers and sisters, as I said, mercy is the heart of not giving up even a soul fallen into sin, but saving the soul by all means. District leaders and cell leaders and parish pastors, they all do so. And they should, with this kind of love and mercy, and save souls. From the depths of your heart, you have to have this kind of heart and take care of souls. To yourself, with the support of the heart of goodness, you should put yourself into this position and understand his heart. As you do so, you can find wisdom to save the soul and to lead them to the way of salvation. With this wisdom, you can strengthen the weary soul and comfort the broken soul. When you show mercy like this, a fruit of goodness will surely be born. I pray in the name of the Lord that you may have mercy on all souls, just as the Lord did, and that you may please the Lord with the fruit of goodness. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the heart of the Lord is thirdly the heart of giving up everything. Love does not seek its own benefit. Love keeps on giving and giving and searches if others are in need or if there is more to give. Our Jesus gave everything He had for the souls. From His birth till death, He gave His entire life for the souls. What is the reason that He was born in a manger, not in a comfortable bed? It was to let those who live in sin realize that they were no better than animals. Jesus, who is in the Word that became flesh, was laid in a manger to become spiritual bread to the souls who are no different from animals. Since to become the Savior, He could have no sin, He completely kept the law and didn't commit any sin. Obviously, He had no original sin because He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Moreover, 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich." Our Lord, the Son of our Father God, became poor. Why? Because He could redeem our poverty and we can become rich. It means Jesus lived a poor life to allow those who believe in Him to be rich. He didn't spare any words of heaven, but gave them all to the souls. He manifested every power for the souls as well. And thus, those who followed Jesus were healed thanks to His power. Those who were weak became strong. As they met Jesus, people who were caught up in the darkness were set free by His power of the light. Jesus didn't save time for sleep or rest. He gave even His time for the souls. He fed those hungry souls. He showed His heart of consolation and respect to those who were despised. He gave again and again, and eventually gave His own body. By putting on the crown of thorns, He redeemed the sinners from their sin that they committed with their thoughts. By being flogged, He wanted the souls to be healed of diseases. When He was crucified, His garments were divided, fulfilling prophecy and as indicator of things to come. Being nailed through His hands and feet, He redeemed the sins committed by the hands and feet. On top of all this, by shedding all His sinless and precious blood for sinners, He redeemed the sin of mankind. He eventually gave up His own life because He wanted to give what His beloved souls would need most, the eternal life. As you can see, without sparing anything, Jesus gave everything for the souls. Acts 20:35 says, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He Himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, you have to make these words yours. Then you will soon become rich. Why? The Word of God is absolutely true. Now, don't become the one who likes to receive. Instead, you should become the one who loves to give from the depths of your heart, with love and thanks. Then, Father God will soon work for you. Why? Because you like to give, Father God will bless you, and Father God will be glorified through you. But most people like to receive better than to give. When Jesus gave everything for the sinners, even His own life, He was truly happy in His heart. He was happy because thanks to the life that He gave, the sinners could receive eternal life. I myself am also enjoying such happiness. Thanks to such happiness, for the last 33 years since I started this church, I am here today. If you can give anything with love just like Jesus, you can enjoy such happiness as well. When you give what you have to the one you love, you feel joyful. It's hard to give to the one you dislike, but you can give just about anything to the one you love. Parents give everything to their children. They change their diapers, they breastfeed them, but they don't regret. They still love them and give them kisses. They sacrifice themselves like that for their children. They don't want anything in return. That's true love, isn't it? But when children grow up, you know, the hearts of parents also change. They also want to receive something from their children. Then happiness disappears. Now, the parents want to receive, but children do not respect them the way the parents want. Then they got sorry. They have to give, but they want to receive. That's the start of the trouble. So don't expect to receive, but just give. That's love and that's goodness. So, well, until when should I give? Well, according to the word of God, just give. If you do, then you will soon say, I gave, then I received too. That you should do it from the depths of your heart. Then you will be blessed according to what Father God said. And Father God will surely bless you. If you did that according to goodness from the depths of your heart. It is hard to give to the one you dislike, but you can give just about anything to the one you love. I hope that you can also taste this happiness, which you can find as you give, and that you will enjoy it as much as you want. When I give, well, I want something in return. I want you to manage good Christian life, to be faithful to the kingdom of God and go to New Jerusalem. With that kind of heart, you know, I help people. But even though they receive such a help, they forget the grace that they receive. And, you know, some Levi workers want to leave. You know, when I see them, you know, I feel so sorry and I am hurt in my heart. Even though I help them, you know, to lead them to New Jerusalem. But they, you know, forsake them and betray them and they want to look at the world again. Let me conclude this message, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The heart of the Lord is love and mercy. It is also the heart that gives everything. The Lord who loves you this much wants only one thing from you. It is His desire for you to come out as the true children of the Father God. To do so, you must become sanctified and accomplish a sincere heart. You must resemble the Father and fill your heart with goodness, love, and truth. When you become a true child of God, is it good only for the Lord? It is for you that is best. You will receive the best dwelling place and glory in heaven. While living on this earth, you can enjoy the blessing as a child of God. In this year of glory, 2015, when God the Father allowed the flow of Holy Spirit, as you pass this Passion Week and welcome the Easter Sunday, I hope that you will have the firm resolution of, I will make the Father's wish come true. May you sail on toward New Jerusalem at ease, even though the rough waves of the world, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. I'll pray. Lay your hand on sick parts of your body or infirmities and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. Father God, lay your hands on them. From head to toe, in every intestines and organs and nerve system, burn them by the fire of the Holy Spirit and let them become healthy both in spirit and body. Darkness, go away. May the light come. Father, work for them transcending space and time. All diseases in their body, be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Last stage of cancer, be cleansed. All kinds of pneumonia, lung diseases, high blood pressure, diabetes, go away. Be cleansed. All kinds of skin diseases, go away. May the light come. May the light come. Father, let them become healthy, both in spirit and body. All the pains, go away. Infirmities, go away. Father, let them be healthy, both in spirit and body. Bless Pastor Somi Jajo of India to be healed of neck nerve stretch, abdominal gas, and not to have a nightmare. All the gas go away. All the nightmare go away. Bless her, Father. All darkness go away. Father, bless Maureen to be healed of eczema on whole body and anemia of Sweden. Bless Maja to be healed of knee cancer, be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Cancer go away. Bless Ravine to be healed of neck pain, depression, high blood pressure, and the hair changes to dark hair. Bless Erika to be healed of rash on lips and eczema. And bless Tobias to be healed of pain on heels and ankle joint and skin disease and, you know, obesity. Bless Lee Jen Peng of Taiwan to be healed of heart disease. Bless Noah of England to get a stable job and to live with the children. Bless Minister Chan for the mission center to be built well and for the safe ministry. Bless Ho Chen to be healed of lung cancer, be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Bless Ri Su Wan to be healed of lung disease and heart disease, be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and may the light come. Bless Zhang Wei Mei to be healed of uterine cancer, bladder cancer, the renal failure, to be healed of, bless Kim Geum-ja to be healed of cataract and embolopia. Bless Wu Chai-sha to be healed of cervical cancer. Bless Zhang Shui-mei to be healed of eczema, skin disease. Bless Long Yan-bang to be healed of pneuma of the uterus. Bless Zhang Wei-tong to recover eyesight back. Bless Zhao Yiren for the baby's labium to have normal shape. Bless Cha Omang to deliver baby well. Bless Ga O Chen for the smooth legal proceeding for the car accident. Bless Invictory readers and viewers, and Tibet Russia viewers, and give answers to their prayer titles and bless them and be glorified through them. Father God, thank you. Bless our brothers and sisters and let them receive grace in the second half of this service. Let us understand and realize the love of the Lord and love of the Father God, and let them understand how the apostles of the Lord, you know, died in the martyrs. Some died martyrs, but others betrayed the Lord. Father, let them understand the love of those who died martyrs for the Lord, and let them resemble them. Let them have true and sincere heart. Father God, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.